Welcome to the Technical Committee meeting of the 13th of September 2017. We've got an apology from Chairman Woodhead. So no other apologies. I'll move that apology be accepted. Seconded Councillor Neil. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carry. Confirmation of the agenda. No changes, amendments. Good to go. Conflict of interest. Standard question there. Anyone need to raise any issues? No. Public forum, we haven't got one as far as I know. The minutes of the meeting held on the 2nd of August 2017 have been circulated and they are for adoption. I will move. No, I won't because I wasn't there. Councillor Lawton may like to. Thank you, Councillor Lawton. Seconder, preferably someone who was there. Thank you, Councillor Robertson. Any discussion? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Mm-hmm.
Aye.
Against, carried. Noted here, there are no matters arising. Is that everyone's in agreement? Everyone's in agreement with that? Excellent. Okay, moving on to we've got two reports. Part A report, which is item one, but it appears on the agenda on page 15. And this is the covering report from Dr. Dean Olson, and of course relates to the ORC commissioned report on Lindavia Intermedia in terms of its genetic origins. Tells us a little bit that we think we know, and it tells us a bit more. But Dr. Olson, would you like to introduce your report? And I'm sure there will be some questions for you as well.
ORC commissioned Landcare Research to undertake some genetics work to determine the origin of Lindavia Intermedia, which is the dog responsible for producing mate snow in New Zealand lakes. It compared samples from a number of New Zealand lakes with material from North America, from two lakes in North America and one lake in Europe. The work that Landcare did was to develop specific genetic markers to maximise our likelihood of detecting differences between populations. The key finding of this work is that the New Zealand material was genetically identical to other lakes in New Zealand, and that all of the New Zealand material was genetically identical to material from Lake Youngs, which is in North America. So either the New Zealand Lindavia came from Lake Youngs, which is one possibility, or the New Zealand material and the material in Lake Youngs came from a constant source in relative recent history. The evidence that is provided by this analysis is strongly indicates that it's not a native to New Zealand. If there was a long history of Lindavia being in New Zealand, in a number of different lakes, you would expect that the populations in each of those lakes would diverge over time, so you would expect to find some genetic differences, and that wasn't the case. So it adds weight to the findings of other work that's been done, including lake coring, that suggests that it's an invasive species that has recently arrived in New Zealand. The paper also outlines a work program that came out of the workshop with experts held at the end of last year. The work that's planned in this financial year that's come out of that and has been through this committee. So just to remind you that the priority work programs in that were to establish timelines of Lindavia in New Zealand lakes, understanding historical dynamics of Lindavia in Otago lakes, and some literature reviews, really this first step in understanding what potential drivers might be for Lindavia and also the production of this polysaccharide in our lakes. There's also a portion which is tagged to supporting citizen science, and it's envisaged that would help community groups to help us build a picture on distribution of Lindavia in some of our lakes. It's also worth noting that there's a project, I think it's item 3, in the prioritised work program around technologies to monitor lake snow. At the moment, we can't differentiate lake snow from other algae that contain chlorophyll. To that end, Dr. Phil Novus, who undertook this genetics work, has just been successful in getting funding to develop technology that would allow us to directly monitor lakes and ourselves. So we've committed to supporting on that.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dr. Alton. Just a couple of questions from me, and then I'll go around the table, but just confirming, in light of the result of the Landcare research paper, your priorities in terms of the work stream don't change. Is that as adopted back in December, which is what we've got in front of us, essentially what you're saying, the Landcare research doesn't make any difference to that work stream, work program going forward?
No, it doesn't. I think it's still important to understand historical dynamics in some of our lakes where it's been present and maybe disappeared. Certainly, from talking to Dr. Novus, some of his colleagues overseas who had said, yeah, we'll get you some material, they actually came back and said, well, we can't because we can't find it anymore. So that, and certainly in some of the European lakes with water quality improving, there seems to be changes in dynamics in some of their phytoplankton, so they haven't been able to collect it anymore. So understanding those historical dynamics in some of our lakes may give us hints as to drivers. Lake Hayes and Otago is probably one of the more important ones than that. It's been collected from the sediments in Lake Hayes, and Lake Hayes has obviously got higher nutrients in it than the other lakes affected in Otago. Lindavia has historically been there, but doesn't seem to be there in high numbers now. It's still present, but it seems to be sort of less common. So if we can get a bit of a picture, and certainly it's broader than Otago, but if we can build a picture around where do we find it, where's it been previously, certainly Lake Benmore as well is one where it seems to have been very abundant in some seasons and then dropped back in more recent times, that might give us a hint around some of those drivers I was referring to. So at the moment, no plans to deviate from the work program that's set out previously.
And the second question relates to the outcome of the report. So Lindavia looks like it's it's come in somehow, whether it's been transported in some shape or form, or it's made its way here in a natural process or whatever. Does that lift the level of focus for central government? I'm just thinking going forward and funding opportunities. Are we able to, I'm trying to, I suppose, suggest, are we able to take advantage of what the report is insinuating at a central government level to secure greater support from them?
I'm not sure if I'm the right person to answer that, because I haven't been having that conversation, but I'm sure but probably better if Dr. Palmer.
Yes, through you, Mr. Chairman. So in terms of the engagement with Ministry for Primary Industries, that's something that Mr. McLean is dealing with very shortly, and might like to comment on that. And then in respect of the technical research, that's something that we are collaborating with ECAN and Southland on in terms of how we might progress the components that were part of the failed MB fund and how we might do that together in a synchronised and coordinated way through LTP preparation. And that's getting underway now.
Thank you. Mr. McLean.
Thank you, through the Chair. So OIC are part of the Freshwater Biosecurity Partnership Steering Group, so that's a collaboration of the regional councils, Department of Conservation, Fish and Game and MPI. Now that MPI have had a chance to review the report, the Landcare report, they are keen, their incursion investigators are keen to of research that was identified initially through an ORC report, but not follow through with the genetics work. So that interests them, and they wish to discuss that with the wider biosecurity partnership group, and we're meeting with them. Propose some research streams for the wider group to consider.
Thank you. Councillor Robertson.
Thank you, and a very clear report. Very good to have this information. Yeah, understand that this is a technical committee and this is a technical response to the issue, which I agree with. But wondering if, yeah, perhaps there should be another recommendation that, as a result of this technical information, that, whatever, how would I word it? essentially that the work that needs to go on through regulatory committee and through Scott's team then kicks into action as a result of finding this out. So not sure exactly how I would word that, but if anyone else can think of the exact right words, either Scott or Peter, for what needs to happen now with MPI and biosecurity and our interaction with them.
Well, it adds to that comment. I mean, immediately we got the report I wrote to MPI. We had advised them that we thought it was an invasive species, but we were doing this piece of work. So I wrote to them immediately with a copy of the report telling them that the findings confirmed what we thought, and then the work that Scott and his colleagues will do is the follow-up to that. So I think if the minute... can certainly note that we are into that next phase, which is a response phase to a incursion. And the letter that I received this morning from MPI in response to mine was a lot about clean, dry. It was about how we might limit it, or how they might limit its spread, and how we might work together. So, yeah.
I wonder, Councillor Robertson, just give some thoughts.
Yeah, no, I think it would be good to have a recommendation that now that we have got an incursion.
Dr. Palmer's just suggested a report back to the next regulatory committee as one.
Yeah, regular reporting to the
regulatory committee
as a result of the now status that it is an incursion.
Yeah. Well, let's just park that wording, and Lauren will have it in draft form, and once we go around the table, it may end up being tweaked or whatever. Councillor Scott.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, staff, for all the work that's been going on. Going back to the outcomes, agreed outcomes in December of last year with the experts, there were a number of activities outlined by Dr. Rolston, and four of them were to be completed had delivery by 6 months' time. So we've had an outline of some of the things that are going on. Have we achieved those timelines? Are we there with outcomes?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, those activities, those are the ones in the second paragraph in part two of our report, and they could not start until we had the outcome of the genetics work. Now that we have it, we're able to proceed with getting those things underway. Having said that, there has been discussions with the university and Landcare about how they will be progressed, and they'll now be progressed in accordance with the annual plan.
Okay, so like on the Appendix A, are you saying that on Appendix A, where it says the column associated costs, that the first box, the second box, the third box, and then you go down to page 107, the second box, even though it says delivery 3 to 6 months, you're saying 3 to 6 months after confirmation that it was an introduced species? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they'll be delivered in the current annual plan year. And so that first one you referred to, one little Roman one, is the work being reported today.
Yeah.
And then those other things were contingent upon the outcome of that. We could have started it, but we preferred just to wait until we had this report. Now that we have it, we'll get that work underway.
Yeah. It was the word, I was with you until you said you preferred to.
Yeah. Well, as I said, the work has started with the scoping and the engagement with those service providers. We can now commit to getting that work underway.
We've always thought that it was an introduced species, and these particular activities, there's not a lot of expenditure with them. The first one was 11k, 56k. I just keep thinking back. I'm amazed, like we're in September, you know, there's a certain amount of tension at the table, you know, like at Christmas time, and we thought, shit, we've got to get this done by March and April, boom, 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 and I'm just hoping that we're not going to slip into a more elongated time frame. For example, my question then is, do we require some urgency on this matter, or is time a little bit irrelevant?
Mr. Chairman, I think the program is reflecting the urgency. We've got a program informed by experts, and we're going as quickly as is practicable.
Okay. And I think where Councillor Robinson's coming from as well, you know, that we have a regular reporting regime coming through her committee, which I suppose keeps us all on task.
Policy.
Policy, sorry.
Regulatory.
Coming through regulatory. Yeah. Councillor Scott, sorry, my apologies. I owe you a shout.
Good.
I'll go to Ms Sutton, then Councillor Lawton, then Councillor Laws.
Through you, Chair. My comments were just in respect to stakeholder management, and I thought it was probably good timing to mention that in addition to what we're doing with our government stakeholders, we're also running a community stream. So there's going to be a release that goes out to the community following the tabling and adoption of this report. And there's also a community information session that's been set up for the 4th of October. So myself and CEO Mr. Bodica will be heading out there this week on Friday to talk to interested community stakeholders, because we think that this is also an issue that's high in the minds of those living in the area and affected by it.
That's
the other piece of work that's happening in respect to
sustainability. Excellent. Thank you. Councillor
Lawton. Thank you. I just wanted to reiterate the point brought up by Brian in terms of timeframe. I hope now that we've got a report that substantiates everything we already thought we knew, that we can get on with it, and the community will certainly be asking more questions about why it's taken so long, but also really clear timeframes about moving forward now, particularly that there is money in the annual plan to achieve that. So it would be great when you get to talk to those stakeholders about evidence.
Thank you. Councillor Laws.
Yeah, I sort of want to follow that up, because the public's only going to ask one question when you get to Wanaka, and is, what are you doing about it? So when we say, oh, well, I've just discovered it's been invasive, what did you do, they'll say, you know. You're not helping anything. It's been a year since we let you know, and you've come back and you've got us this stunning piece of information.
Longer than a year.
Yeah, that's right. So they're going to be a little bit impatient, and I can understand that. The issue here really is, what is the most effective combat tool against this? And really, that's the only issue that counts for us, all the other issues. So where are we with that? Because at the bottom of page 107, I think it's top of page 108, there is the ability to monitor it, but I'm struggling to see anything there that says trialling of potential solutions. Is there anything in this work program to that effect? Because that's the question you're going to get.
Dr. Olson?
Yeah, I refer to you to the expert panel. We did directly ask the experts if there was a silver bullet out there to eradicate this or to control it, and the answer was pretty emphatically no at this stage. There was some talk of potential future development of genetic methods to target Lindavia specifically. So the emphasis of our work program has been on understanding the drivers of Lindavia in these lakes. So we're not going to be able to go in and poison it out, but the question is there a way of us managing it in the long term to reduce the nuisance factor? The answer to that and this genetics work was a key kind of branch in the fork in the road at that point. If we found that Lindavia was not exotic, that it was a native species, then it adds a lot of weight to the fact that something's changed in the lakes to make it bloom. If, as this work indicates, it is non-native, so it's an exotic, it may well just be doing really well in our lakes because it really likes our lakes and the conditions that they present. So there's certainly an avenue of further research to understand, you know, responses to things like nutrients, climate change, that sort of thing, but predominantly it's about managing it in the long term as opposed to some short-term effect. I understand the frustration and I understand the urgency that people have, but it's, you know, it reminds me an awful lot of the response to Didymo when it first came in. It, you know, initial talk of nuking rivers to get rid of it, it's just unrealistic with current technology.
Mm, but just as a guardian of Lake Dunstan, that was the attitude that led to what Lake Dunstan looks like now.
But to be fair, I think we're still in an investigation stage, and we haven't got all the answers when it comes to management.
Fair enough.
So,
but I guess the question, but you'll get it. I mean, I'm only reflecting what the community is going to give you. Double barrels is going to be. It's fine. Yeah, but can't you at least trial some of the things to see if it's effective? Some of those solutions.
Yeah. So that was the point, I guess, put to the experts. And the consensus was the volume of the lakes are so massive that the quantity of that material, I mean, we'd be buying kind of the world's supply of algicide to be able to do it, and it would be non-directed, so it would be killing everything, all the algae.
No, that's
not. There is no specific diatom-specific herbicide or algicide. So the collateral damage would be
no, I don't think anybody's suggesting that you're going to do the whole lake. What you're looking at is, are there specific biological or chemical agents that can deal with this issue on a scale basis? That was what we're asking, and that's what they'll ask.
There are.
Yep.
There are herbicides now. You can buy, go down to Mitotem and buy an herbicide, and it'll kill Lindavia.
Right.
But you don't want to drink it.
No.
You don't
want
to swim in it.
All right.
It won't just kill Mandavia. It'll kill
all right. So what other mechanisms are you employing?
Other mechanisms to try and control it?
To do both.
So management really is things that you can control, and so nutrients and leaves would be probably the primary lever that would be pulled.
Pardon me.
That's, you know, that's long-term minimising, trying to see whether it's feasible in the long-term to minimise the nuisance effect, not to try and eradicate it.
Mr. McLean, do you want to just scope out a little bit more, I think, as Dr. Palmer just alluded to in my ear, the issue that Council Laws is raising is some of the challenges that this wider group stakeholders will be posing and looking of ways to find solutions, etc. So, do you want to just scope out a little bit more about where the focus will be from a management point of view?
Thanks, through the Chair. That's right. It's important to note it's shifted, the focus of MPIs now has shifted to the incursion investigators, and one of their primary roles is researching and investigating how to combat and assess any type of incursion. So that'll be one of the research topics that we talk about as a wider group. I know this interests not only just the lower South Island councils, it interests regional councils nationwide. But DOC are very interested in it, with their role in managing a lot of freshwater biosecurity issues. So that'll be a key topic of discussion. So they've identified certainly one line of research that they see as an opportunity to undertake that supports the work that ORC are doing and the wider experts are doing. So joined up research, they are keen to explore ways to combat it. But as Dr. Olsen pointed out, there's no feasible technology to deal with it now without having significant collateral damage. So certainly that's a focus of the MPI that we'll discuss in that next week, and I'll report back on the results of that discussion at the next regulatory committee.
Councillor Kempton.
Oh, thank you. Just a couple of things. One of them slightly in jest. Probably the Otago Provincial Council in 1857, somebody said, what are you going to do about rabbits? And somebody brought a box to the next meeting and it had a stoat in it. And we said, this will fix them. And it fixed a whole lot of other stuff as well.
Yeah.
So that's just, we just got to be realistic about this stuff, is that you can be pretty certain that anything we do right now, we're going to regret, given our state of knowledge. However, having said that, I think that one of the important things that the elected representatives from the area should do is, because it looks like it's becoming more important, when people say, what are you doing? Well, actually, we're working through a quite difficult situation, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this. We've heard all about that now. But then the other thing is, you guys can help. You always want to help. You guys can help. Clean your bloody boats. Clean your fishing rods, because somebody bought a fishing rod from the west coast of the United States or Canada and they brought it here, right? So that's how it arrived, and we can sure as hell help our neighbours and make sure it doesn't spread. That's a really important message to be put out there right now. We might have it in our lake, but we're not going to put it in somebody else's if you guys help to do this. And if that comes from a political level and not just a student on a slipway, that's pretty important.
Thank you. Councillor Scott.
Is there any intent for that experts group to reconvene at any point? You know, like as information comes in or maybe in December of this year type of thing, and that there may be some benefit.
Dr. Palmer.
Yes, I think there is benefit, and so I think as part of the discussions with Southland and Canterbury talking about the possibility of doing that, and particularly in light of what comes out of the NPI group, if they're coming up with control methods, then maybe taking that back to an experts group in terms of what they think about effectiveness and consequences. So yes, definitely, it was very effective use of experts, and keen to reconvene as appropriate.
There's no better time than in the short term, as opposed to as the years tick over. We'll look back at this time.
Thank you. Any further comment, Councillor Hope?
Can I ask Dr. Olsen a question? Dr. Olsen, sorry, just want to ask you a question. Has this little baby, if you like, has it turned up anything that you didn't think would come out of it? You know, with your studies and what you've seen and what information. So, well, I didn't think it would behave like this, or I did think it would behave like that, or.
After it was identified in Lake Waxahoo, I, at that stage, my gut was telling me it was likely to be an incursion. Up until that point, it seemed to be primarily in Lake Wanaka, and there was a lot of discussion around land use change in Lake Wanaka, and that could have been, a driver for changing quite a thing. The fact that it turned up in Waxahoo and became super abundant, to me, it was behaving like a Dithamaru type, incursion. So this work really just kind of consolidates that, and I guess part of the intent was to put that whole conversation kind of beyond the approach, so that we can go to NPI and say, with some confidence that this is, in all likelihood, an incursion, and to, obviously they have a statutory duty in that space, and so we tap into that. In recent times, I guess one of the our knowledge has grown hugely. It's found now in a bunch of Canterbury lakes, so it's far more on the ECAN's agenda. The fact that there aren't many direct takes from Environment Canterbury's lakes probably means that it could have been there for a while and people wouldn't have noticed it. Fishermen might have noticed it. I mean, I noticed it years ago in Denmark. Lines, but it wasn't a big deal. It didn't really impact on things. But I think we're building a picture now, and it's certainly something that having central government NPI coming in and providing sort of national oversight and national leadership is really helpful. But this work in particular hasn't really turned up anything that's of surprise. It's often the case that when species come into a new environment that they haven't evolved within, they can get a bit out of kilter with everything else, they don't bring their diseases with them, that sort of thing. So I think that's the case here.
Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Deeker.
Yeah, Dr. Olsen just said we're building a picture, and the picture I have is of a large stable with a wide open door and horses bolting in all directions, which means that I think when we do talk with our lakes dwelling and visiting constituents, we've got to talk about adaptation. And when I recall the meeting we had at Wanaka on this issue, the QLDC engineer was already onto that, talking about adaptation of water takes from both Wakatipu and Wanaka, and how he was thinking they'd have to live with this little critter. I think it would be foolish for us to talk about anything other than adaptation until we've worked through a significant series of processes as outlined in this report.
Thank you. Councillor Lawton.
Thank you. Just following on from that, there has been the stance of the Queenstown Lakes District Council, and what is very much needed is an understanding of if the council then goes ahead and invests many, many, many millions of dollars to try and manage this critter within its system, and then the critter disappears for some reason due to environmental changes, it'll land back at us. So we really need to get this, as much science as possible to take that story properly.
Why would it come back here?
Could we ask better questions? Essentially, we should, it's our role to understand the drivers of how it's come about and how it might operate in the future. Obviously not, you know, completely our responsibility, but they're going to be reliant on the information that we provide them. So, and at some stage, that adaptation, they're going to have to make a call, and it's going to be significant. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment, and I just come back to the meeting that was held that Councillor Deaker referred to, and yes, there was frustration. Clearly, Queenstown Lakes made it very clear they could be staring down the barrel of a major infrastructure upgrade to deal in terms of the clogging up of their water takes, etc. And then you had individual landowners with their own private water filters in their residential and their dwellings, where it was causing incredible frustration. So yeah, I think that it's going to be a bit testy, but you know, at the end of the day, we've got to be in a strong position to be able to pave a way forward, and I just don't think we're quite there yet. But picking up on Councillor Law's point, I think we need to, when we have that community meeting, of which date I've forgotten, early October, is it? 4th of October. I think we do need to be on the front foot in terms of keeping the community obviously well informed of where we're at, but also, you know, the possibilities of which we haven't settled on yet, but just trying to take the community along. And picking up on Councillor Kempson's message, yeah, we can work in partnership and, you know, look at ways of trying to minimise any further spread. Ms Sutton, and then Councillor Robson.
Based on Councillor Law's comments, I understand that we don't have a resolution to this, but from my experience when it comes to community engagement, particularly around issues that are very emotive for communities, creating a vacuum of silence is the worst thing you can possibly do. So the intent here is to make sure we show that we're here for you, we're keen to communicate the steps, even if there's no clear resolution. And I think you'll find that will be appreciated by a community rather than having a vacuum of silence until we have the mm-hmm. answer.
Thank you. Councillor Robertson.
Yeah, I guess as well as the discussion that we've had about preventing the spread further, it's important as well to make the point that we've got some lakes here that are extremely, well, valued and high quality still. Yes, we've had an incursion here, but we've got something pretty special. And yeah, the incursion has tripped us into a relationship with MPI again over biosecurity, but this has happened before and probably will happen again, and we need to be making a loud song and dance about preemptive stuff as well. It's not just let's wait for an incursion. This is ongoing to protect these lakes action. So we need to be making that loud and clear too, and in reporting back through regulatory committee, I think we're going to be putting a lot of pressure on relationships nationally to ensure that message is getting across as well. So I just wanted to say that.
Excellent, thank you. Any further questions? If not, would someone like to move? We've got recommendation 1, 2 and 3 on page 16 plus the additional recommendation that Councillor Robertson suggested, of which I sense Lauren may have crafted. Okay. So everyone comfortable with 1, 2, 3 and now 4 recommendations?
One final one, including the need to report back to the community. Can we somehow have a page on the website that actually pulls together a couple of the various documents that we do have on Lindavia, because I think people are going to go to the website to try and find anything more. So including the reports from the December meeting would also be very valuable.
Thanks, Councillor Lawton. So that doesn't need to be crafted into a motion, Ms Sutton. That'll just happen as of... Yep, party. Yep, excellent. Thank you. Someone like to move 1, 2, 3 and 4 recommendations? Move Councillor Robertson, second Councillor Hope. Any discussion? If not, other than... well, I suppose we're at a point, even though the report didn't reveal a lot, but it is a step in the right direction, and we've got to take a number of small steps, but we'll get there eventually. Councillor Walls.
The communication plans, I just want to pick up on that, because I think it's really critically how this is handled. And I like what you say about openness, but I think if you're going to talk about it, you've got to walk the walk as well. So I think it's really important to share all the information that we've got as a regional council with the community and hold absolutely nothing back. There's already a suspicion about ORC because of its previous role. So I think in this case it's one of those things where you need to make sure that you always err on the side of openness. And you'll certainly get no criticism from me if you give the community stuff before you give it to me. You know what I mean? So if you've got the stuff, you see, there's one thing that really pissed people off, can I tell you, on this issue. It was that there was the reported comment, I think it was from you, Dr. Olson, it might have been from a Togo regional councillor, that this report, for example, that we're discussing today, after being received by the regional council, wouldn't be available until the end of the year. Now, what that sent was a message that you've got this stuff, and now you're going to sit on it and let it go when it suits you. But we've all got a vested interest in knowing what that is now, and you've got it. So you'll know the report that I'm talking about. I think it was reported in the Otago Daily Times. So I think it's very important, therefore, to get this information out as soon as it arrives and is shared with the local community.
Response, I guess I'll say on behalf of the executive, there's definitely a shared idea that we're going to be very proactive and certainly transparent, and Gavin and I, Palmer and I, have been working together to ensure that it's a shoulder-to-shoulder exercise.
It might have been misreported, but that was the reported comment.
Okay, thank you. No further discussion? If not, I'll put those four recommendations. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Moving on to the director's report. Page 7. First item is the 21st, 22nd July 2017 heavy rainfall event. Gives us an update of basically the event, some of the challenges we had with the infrastructure, etc., and obviously a considerable amount of feedback from the community on issues. Some would be positive, some would be negative, and most of those have been resolved. But Dr. Palmer, is there anything that you'd like to add, or one of your staff?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, as you can see from my report, we've got a comprehensive program underway to gather information about the flood. I've listed some of the things that are underway. Those include some work being undertaken by NIWA on the weather event, just how big was it, why was it so big, and how does it compare to 1980, so we should have that information from them late next month. We've also got a survey of the Tyree and the Silver Stream rivers underway, and some questions about siltation and changes in the river as a consequence of the flood, so we've got a survey underway, and again we'll have that information next month for reporting. Top of the second page, I've commented there on the flood bank integrity work that was underway. That was an annual plan target, so we've extended that to include some assessment around our structures keyed into our flood banks, including what happened at the Mill Creek pump station. And once we know that, we will then commission some work on appropriate long-term remedial works. In the meantime, we've undertaken the temporary repairs. We've shown in figure 2 just to keep it stable in the meantime. So given the level of community interest, it's our intention to report back to the community once we have all that information. So Ms Sutton, Mr McLean and I are just making some arrangements around one or two meetings in the Tyree Plain to share that information before the end of the calendar year, and then cover off some of the other issues like management of bailage, bylaws, designations, our flood warning systems, what you can expect to receive and how we do it, and the hazards database, and then some of our thinking about some improvements we can make for incorporation into the long-term plan. So we're making those arrangements now for those community meetings, and they'll be advertised in due course.
Thank you, Dr. Farmer. Councillor Lawton raised a number of issues about asset management in an email, and the plan is that you're going to brief myself and Councillor Lawton at some stage in the future, and maybe other councillors may want to be involved in that, but is that the plan?
Yes, I think it's probably appropriate for a general briefing around asset management, and that's a subset of a wider thing about how you keep people safe from floods and provide land drainage. So there's other issues about natural hazards management that go with it. So probably best done by way of a workshop briefing.
Yeah, because obviously it's better that everyone is involved if they could be, so that be an open invitation to everyone.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Lawton.
I think it is a valuable conversation just to have here, in that in terms of this report, it's suggesting, or it's proposing work already done, which is to go out and look at the infrastructure in terms of its safety and its operation. My question was specifically in terms of where the budget for that sits. Is that something that's already planned in our infrastructure, in our city infrastructure strategy? Is it something that sits within a, you know, rotational 5-year review? Can we just have a bit of insight into is this part of the usual process, or is it outside of that, and therefore, if so, where's the funding coming from?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The flood bank integrity work is budgeted and planned. So we did a comprehensive assessment of flood banks in 2005, covering the Clutha scheme and the Tyree scheme, and that was reported through to council, came up with some issues that we've been working to remedy. With the passage of time and with the learnings from the Canterbury earthquakes around how earth structures perform, we decided to repeat that, and so that was included in an annual plan. And so the work I'm describing here will be reported in due course, come back to committee.
So it's already in budget for
Absolutely in budget. Now, some issues arose during the flood, like the Mill Creek pump station, which have caused us to wrap those things into that original commission because it's a sensible fit with them, and to extend the commission to look at other structures that are keyed into flood banks, given the Mill Creek issues, just to be sure. So there is an additional budget requirement for that, but the fundamental work is budgeted and planned.
Thank you.
Any other queries, questions, comments? Everyone comfortable?
Mr. Director, what?
Yeah, just we'll just deal with the first item first, and no questions with regards to item one. All good. Moving on to item.
In terms of heavy rainfall event?
Yes.
Do we have any update on the important issues at Henley, Outram and Gordon Road that were raised on around that time?
Maybe you can comment on that. Chief will comment in a moment. Sorry, Councillor Scott.
Right.
Question. Sorry, yeah. Councillor Scott just asked a question with regards to the Henley issues that...
Henley, Elkham and Gordon Road.
So, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We met... So some of these were looking to work collaboratively with the DCC, and yesterday morning the Chief Executive and I met with a number of our key staff. Dukes Road was a particular area, Dukes Road North in the industrial area, so we are going to work collaboratively there. We've done some additional maintenance on one of the drainage assets, and so that was a request from the community. Gordon Road, I had to leave a little earlier from that meeting, but I think that's a DCC only matter. Henley, we're thinking about what opportunities we might have with Henley, and we want to bring a workshop. We want to have a workshop with council in the very near future. Hopefully in 2 weeks' time, but it might be at the following equivalent of this meeting. But yeah, the Henley one is a real challenge, and a number of you, Councillor Deaker, I know, had a significant walk around recently with that. And yes, we want to have a workshop with council to look at options that council might like to consider.
Thank you. and Outram? There seems to be...
Outram, we've got a couple of issues. We've got a stormwater issue, and we've got the wastewater issue with the septic tanks. So, you guys that were there at the end of that meeting, did Outram get mentioned yesterday after I left? Don't think it wasn't on the agenda. So that's another one that I'm speaking with the...
I'm hoping it does come onto the agenda, because they seem to have flood issues, development issues, stormwater issues. And we hear about it when there's a flood and then it goes quiet. We need to have a work with the DCC on that matter.
Yep. I mean, I must admit that the DCC, in my opinion, are being very responsible. They're acknowledging that some of the reasons why people get affected by these events is because, you know, they've been allowed to set up camp there, either industrially or residentially, in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
So I think that's a step forward, and certainly the working relationship that we have together means that a day, you know, an hour like yesterday, we could sit down at a senior level and nut out whose responsibility was who. And for most of them, the DCC were taking that responsibility because they're urban stormwater issues as opposed to rural drainage and flood issues.
See, I mean, I'd like to think that if there are, you know, if there's a change in thinking from the DCC in terms of development, that would filter into their new district plan.
Yeah.
Are we too late for that?
You've got planners in the room that have been working with the DCC for probably the last 18 months, 2 years maybe, that clearly lifting the status of hazards right across the DCC.
Oh, you mean our technical people?
Yes.
Not the engineers and so forth?
Well, I'm talking planners as in district planning, regional planners, having a conversation with the DCC.
Yeah, so the question is it going to change in the district plan?
Well, the district plan, of course, isn't being resolved. It's still going through a process, public process, so it's not operative. Sorry to cut across you.
No, that's exactly right.
Sorry. Councillor Hope.
I've just got to comment and say I think it's really important, too, when you're talking about the DCC collaboration, it's the preparation sometimes. I've noticed, as I said to you in a comment last meeting, that had four or five new houses at the back of Gordon Road, and I went and had a look at the other day. Nothing's changed. I don't understand why nothing was picked up then, but there's an open culvert, there's a bit of a 4-inch pipe, a bit of a 6-inch pipe, and there's nothing. And it hasn't had no work, obviously, for a long, long time. So there are those sorts of things, isn't there, that need to be picked up. And I'd like to ask, if I may, through you, can I ask Mr. McLean, have you picked up a lot of trees out of the rivers that had come down through this last flood? Have you seen a lot of maintenance going on?
River works and spend last flood. There are a lot of rivers that we don't do anything with, so significant risk for the community. Those rivers that we identify through our annual plan process have all been inspected and work set up, completed or programmed up.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments with regards to item one? If not, item two, which is the clean water package, the amended national policy statement. Dr. any comment?
Oh, well, this is just a an update on what you received last time round on the swimmability matter, and an update to reflect the fact that changes to the policy statement have been gazetted in respect of swimmability targets. And Dr. Olson's happy to answer any questions.
Councillor Laws.
First of all, an apology to Mike Olson. It's Mark Peart. My apology. You want to come down, mate? That's all right. It's okay.
Sorry, the mission, mate.
No, it's all right. That's all right, mate. Listen, this concerns me a little bit. I sent to all colleagues a copy of this over the weekend, and this was the Ministry for the Environment and the Ministry for Primary Industries National Policy Statement for Freshwater Management Implementation Review, which actually is bloody good in one respect, and that is that it puts the National Policy Statement on water across all the regional councils and makes some pretty interesting comparisons. Now, I would have expected, Andrew, to see this in my papers. Certainly the 17 pages that related to the Otago Regional Council. But I'm not sure that you were aware of it.
No, it wasn't until I saw your email.
Exactly. And I think that these are exactly the kind of external, if you like, and relatively independent reviews that should be being placed before a governance team. So I did want to flag that.
I need to make it clear. I mean, I was aware of the amendments, but I wasn't aware of the document. I didn't have the document at hand.
Right.
I think that was your point anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah. There are two different issues. One's the amendments to the National Policy Statement. The second is the review of the National Policy Statement from 2014 going through regional council by regional council. And there is one specific review on the Otago Regional Council. It was published last month in August, along with the amendments to the National Policy Statement for this year, okay, which came into operation, I think, on the 7th or the 9th of September. And I want to get an assurance that we are going to be discussing this in the next round of council or in connection with this, because it is critical that we discuss how the Ministry for the Environment, the Ministry for Primary Industry, and obviously those reported Otago stakeholders see us in relationship to the statement and how we have answered in it. And like I said, I'm a bit surprised. I want to know why. I had to go and find that for myself. The second thing is that when we look at this clean water package, swimmability is only a portion of it. And here we are reporting on the swimmability issue, where in actual fact there are five other factors that are part of the National Policy Statement on Freshwater Management, both in terms of 2014 and in terms of the amendments of this year. They are swimming, number one, economic well-being, number two, monitoring macro invertebrates, flora and fauna and matarangi Māori, number three, managing nutrients in rivers, number four, maintaining or improving overall water quality, number five, infrastructure exceptions to national bottled lines, six, coastal lakes and lagoons, seven, and recognising the national surveillance of freshwater in Tamari, Tamana Utawai, number eight. And I think if we're going to have reports on this issue of the National Policy Statement on Freshwater, we need to look at against it all that. There is a very good cabinet policy document that went, the matter obviously went to cabinet in August, and in it, it puts the cabinet paper addresses how the amendments and the implementation regime apply directly to regional councils. So although we've got a part here that talks about national proposed swimmability targets and the national policy for freshwater management, there are a whole series of other things that we should be discussing and addressing and reviewing as well. Now, I look back on the minutes, Peter, and I see that in the last minutes we again addressed this issue from the point of view of the NPC of swimmability rather than those other issues. Now, subsequent to this, there is an email that went around from the chairman, I'm sorry Stephen's not here at the moment, saying that he had some issues with what the regional council staff had told this review to do. And Lauren, you'll probably be better placed than I to know anything or something about this as the deputy chair.
Gretchen. All right.
So Gretchen would be better placed to do this than... I don't understand, again, why we're not discussing this now. And I'm a bit concerned, and I'm going to raise with it, why I'm an elected regional councillor responsible for overseeing water policy that these papers are not made available to me. Now,
Councillor Laws.
Yeah.
Before you go any further, give the Chief an opportunity to respond, because you posed a number of questions there, but fundamentally it's the NPS, the amended NPS document is not in front of us, and as you've already alluded to, cabinet papers or whatever, which would maybe help to give a greater background to what we've got in front of us today. But
well, we'll list it in two parts. The first part is the report on implementation. That's a suite of activities that are looking at effectiveness and efficiency of how we are implementing it. Part of it is, we have another review being done around our monitoring, our environmental monitoring, which will come back to council. And we felt that we would pull all of those together rather than have a piecemeal approach to different reports, that we would pull them all together in a single package. So that was the decision.
So are we referring to the November report?
That's the implementation review.
That's what I'm referring to, the implementation review.
So the last paragraph of the up here, it refers to a
we have NIWA, as I understand it, doing a review of the state of the environment reporting, which will report on effectiveness, but it will also give us an idea prior to the long-term plan as to whether or not we need to do any more. Because I think a report in isolation about implementation without a recommendation about what, if anything, different we need to do is of little value.
Can I just confirm?
I can answer that question.
Can you?
Yeah, Mr. Bodeker is correct that you've really got to report on this as part of a package, and that's our intention to do so, to report on all elements of the clean water package. So we intend reporting back to Council on the implementation review, the findings of NIWA with respect to the SOE Service Water Quality Network, because we have expressly asked them for comment on how we satisfy the NPS. We've also had a piece of other work done on groundwater information on quality and quantity, and again asking the question around satisfying the NPS. There's some stuff around the Horizons 1 plan that is relevant, and then there's some quite recent improved guidance from MFE on interpretation of the NPS. So given all of those factors, it's our intention to report back to committee on our implementation of the NPS. All councils are required to do so to review their programs by December of next year anyway, and so it's part of that review we intend doing and reporting back to council.
Yeah, but the issue here is that this was made publicly available last month. So that's how I managed to get it. So I'm in an extraordinary position where a document has been published reviewing the Otago Regional Council on one of its most basic responsibilities, and I, as an elected member of the governance team, not only do I not have a copy of it provided to me by staff who I now understand did have it, but I'm not even alerted to the fact that it exists. Now, it would greatly inform the role of me as a governor were I to be provided with independent advice, as this is, from the Ministry for the Environment, from the Ministry for Primary Industries, and from stakeholders, and it will inform every discussion that I have on any issue to do with the National Policy Statement on Fresh Water. Here we are today discussing it. I don't have this document. I could ask some pretty good relevant questions now as a consequence of reading that statement and that review. And unless I discovered it, completely, I might add, by accident, we wouldn't be having this discussion now. Now, I think a basic principle needs to be arrived at here, and it is, that basic principle is this. When an official document is published or is known to the governance and senior management staff of the Otago Regional Council, and it relates to the operations of this particular council, it's automatically provided to the governance team, not simply as a courtesy, but also to help inform their discussion when issues like this come before the table. And I don't think it gets much more fundamental than that. To say that we're going to have a look at this when we get the NIWA report and some other groundwater quantity and quality report, with respect, that's slightly different issues. And they're also in the never-never, because they haven't arrived yet, so it could be months down the line before they do. And yet, here we want to talk about how have we implemented freshwater management strategy, what do the amendments mean, And in this particular case, I'm even more disturbed. Because the chairman of the Otago Regional Council, in response to this, says, yes, I know. I've got issues with what staff told this particular Ministry for the Environment review.
In fairness, Councillor Lawton, because the chairman's not here...
you've all seen the email.
Yeah, I know, but he can't respond. So, you know, the few words that he made in that email, you know, it probably needs to be fleshed out a bit more. The point I'm saying, let's not pursue that at this point.
We'll leave that.
But I suppose the question in my mind, I'll go to Councillor Scott in a moment, what if there was at our next technical committee or even at council where we considered the report, Minister Environment report, and the section on where it talks about it. It's actually through the report anyway, the reference to Otago Regional Council, but obviously Councillor Laws has referred to a section which just hones in on Otago Regional Council's success rate, or not the right term, but there's a focus there on this particular council. So would it do any harm waiting 6 weeks for that to come through so we can have a discussion on that document? Is there an issue with that?
It's our intention to bring a paper back to the policy committee because it's fundamentally a policy issue. It's got some technical stuff that goes with it. That's our intention to do that.
Policy.
So that'll essentially cover off that document and obviously the other information that you've referred to?
Yes.
All in one package? Yes. Have you got any problem with that, Councillor Laws?
I'm sorry, I think you're jumping from the rather fundamental breach here of openness, which is why don't I and why haven't we got this as a matter of course before us? I mean, we can discuss it in 6 weeks, but I really, one of the great things about reading this, and I'll tell you what, you can't. It's not just this, it's the whole document, because it's brilliant in terms of seeing where Otago is against all the other regional councils as well. And in fact, it's not a bad story to tell, Peter, in comparison. But I don't understand why those documents aren't made immediately available to us to inform us. Like, for example, today, like I said, I'll go back to this, Andrew. Here we are discussing exactly this. Wouldn't it be useful for us to be able to ask informed questions by having availability to this documentation beforehand?
And all I'm trying to suggest is a pathway forward. I'm not looking back just right at the moment, but I'm thinking about how can we practically deal with it, and there's been a suggestion that through the policy committee we can deal with it there. Your fundamental question is something that I'll leave for the chief. That's something he needs to give some thought to. Whether he wants to respond now or at a later meeting, that's fine by me, but I think you've made your point well, and you know, I think we'd probably best either move on, or we probably haven't got any other option, because I think you've made it fairly clear where your position is.
Well, no, it's not my position.
No.
I mean, all I want to make sure of is that this is pretty important. I mean, this is as fundamental a job as we've got as an Otago Regional Council. And when an outside external agency, i.e. the government, reviews what we're doing, then I just want to make sure I'm going to get it. You see, my problem is, wait on, this was published, I think, 2 weeks ago. It might have been longer than that, in actual fact. When was I going to see it? When were people actually going to tell me this existed? And the answer is, well, you have to wait until staff get their act together and they might let you know sometime in the future when all this other work is done. Not good enough.
Yeah, okay. So look, no one's disagreeing with you. I haven't heard anyone disagree with the importance of the document and the importance of us seeing the document with the other information, and we will consider it all. Obviously it's been programmed in for the next policy committee, so that's dealt with going forward. The issue looking back is not an issue for me to make any judgment call on. It's entirely up to the chief to make that call. Why we're in this situation. You have highlighted the scenario. It's not ideal in your view. So I'm going to leave it there, but I'll leave it to the chief to respond if he wants to respond now, as I say, or respond in the future.
So I will respond if I may.
Certainly.
What this discussion and some discussions we had earlier has highlighted is that this organisation is not resourced to service its elected members well enough. What you asked for at the Finance and Corp Committee for additional reporting on investments. What you've asked for here will require a significantly increased level of resource. So that is what I will be bringing to Council through the LTP, and we will be able to respond in a more timely manner. Because I think it's important to put some commentary around all of the reports that come in. Now that is casting no aspersions on the ability or otherwise of councillors, but I think it's important that that in all of these reports we put some context or some background around them, and that takes resource. We can manage that resource over a longer period, but if you're looking for immediate response, which is what I'm hearing in this discussion, that will take additional resource that we haven't currently got. So that's what I'll be putting forward in the LTP. And I think that's valuable. You want it more timely? Well, we've got to resource that.
Okay. Thank you. Further discussion, Councillor Robertson, then Councillor Lawton, and then Councillor Scott.
I think we have gone a long way off the agenda of a technical committee for a start. But anyway, I don't see a big issue here either. I think we've had a report that was published 2 weeks ago that we would like to deal with appropriately. We'd like to write a paper about it. That takes time. We've got to have realism around that. And I think the policy committee, sure, I'm chair of policy, I should have had it on the agenda. No, I couldn't have. We just didn't have the time. We're doing as best as we can. We can't resource that, I don't believe, any better than we currently are. In the past, we have put these on the agenda. We've had government reviews, and they go straight on the agenda as soon as possible. We don't hide them. They're there. They're either in Peter's report or they're in the relevant committee. So I don't see an issue there. We went back over funding policy just then. I don't see that as a big issue either. We clearly identified to people what they should be reporting on, and we reported in a timely manner. Council business.
Councillor Lawton.
Thanks. I just wanted to support what Councillor Laws has been saying, and I was surprised to find this report, but I was also surprised that coming back to this report that we were having analysis of the swimmability in terms of that criteria, but it didn't have the entirety of the document. And in fact, I feel a bit silly that why didn't we ask for the actual document? So really, it's not. I don't know that I can agree with about the need for more resourcing. A courtesy email saying, councillors, are you aware that central government has just released another fundamental document? It is on the work program and will be available for analysis in 2 months. Is actually all I think I would have liked, because what happens is I go to the pub on a Friday night and I start getting asked by everyone, have you seen the latest release of this report? And I would really like to know that I could come back to it, because on Monday then I get a media call from the local newspaper. So that's all I'm asking for, is that if something fundamental that comes out and is in the public sphere, that I get a courtesy email to let me know, would be a good idea for you to have a look at this so that you're up to date with what's going on. That's all I'm asking for.
Thank you. Councillor Scott.
Yeah, I actually agree with Alavi, and I don't think it's a resource issue. Look, I know we're all so busy, but I actually saw this report as just being a little bit unique, and it was a bit of a heads up, and I think governance is just saying, well, it would be good to see that at the earliest possible opportunity. But moving on, what I would actually appreciate with this report that we haven't actually seen yet, but this report, is that it has 5 conclusions and recommendations. And I would actually like, you know, in your considered approach to it, it's just simply to say, well, they've said this. As a council, this is the path that we're on. And, you know, so we can see, we can debate whether that gap is actually reasonable or not. You know, whether we actually agree with what's been said and whether we need to actually change our tack. So, you know, this morning, for example, where there are green and amber lights, where do we really sit? Do we need to change our tack in some particular area? So I look forward to that review. Thank you.
Armour, do you want to respond just to confirm
that? That is precisely what we will be doing.
Yeah,
precisely why we just need a little bit of time.
Yeah, no, that's good.
To take their interpretation of what we do,
yeah,
critique it, identify gaps, and how the gaps will be filled.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And I think what governance is sort of saying is, hey guys, this is an unusual report. Have a look at it. We're going to give our considered approach. Can you give us 6 weeks? Thank you.
Thank you.
Just very briefly, I've heard all the stuff. My personal view is that this is a little overblown, but nevertheless, it might be that the place to simply say to people, there's some documents come out,
yeah,
is part of the clipping. So we not only clip the paper, but there might be two or three things that our communications people are aware of or are made aware of that are just added to that. And you might like to look at these things on the internet. There might be, as Councillor Lawson has pointed out, a thing to say, and we'll be looking closer at this, but that's it. And I think that that ought to solve the issue. I mean, after all, we should all look at the internet as well, and there is an assumption that nobody else actually saw this, Michael, and that might actually be a bit of a stretch. But anyway, this is not a big deal, for God's sake. Let's go.
No, I'm assuming that everybody has seen it, because I know I've already received a media call about it.
Okay. We'll keep moving on. Any further comments with regards to item 2 on the director's report? If not, moving on to item 3, the leaf flood protection scheme. Is an update.
The biggest river in Otago is the Clutha, not the Mahurakea.
Thank you, Councillor Neil.
And if you read on paragraph 3, the comments in the wrong place. Moving on.
That's noted. That's noted. Thank you. Moving on to item 3, the leaf flood protection scheme. Dr. Palmer, any comments there? It's an update on the current stage and the stage that's about to kick on later on in the year.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just an update. What work is progressing on the Union 2 stage. The asbestos that was discovered is substantially removed. And I've just noted there around timing. Importantly, most parts of the job will be completed before Christmas and the site will be handed back as those parts become able to do so. And that will leave some in-channel stuff at the downstream end, which will extend into early 2018. But we're working very closely with the university around all of that, including communications. Happy to take questions.
Excellent. Any queries, questions, comments? If not, would someone like to move?
Yeah, I'll move it.
Thank you, Councillor Neil. The report is noted. The director's report is noted. Seconded by Councillor Scott. Any discussion? If not, I'll put the motion. Those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. As far as I know, that is the conclusion of the technical committee.